Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve, wishing a happy birthday to Pat Benatar. 67 years old today. Four-time Grammy Award winner. One of her first singles there, may have been the first single, Heartbreaker from Pat Benatar. Saw her some years ago playing, I think, with Peter Frampton. Not together, but on the same bill. Pat Benatar and Peter Frampton. Heartbreaker from Pat Benatar. Birthday today for her. She is 67 years old. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. Thank you very much for joining us. And with us on the line now, economist, business professor at the University of Maryland, national columnist, Peter Morici. You can find him on Twitter, too, at PMorici1. That's M-O-R-I-C-I, the number one, at PMorici1. And his latest piece over at MarketWatch.com, What Trump Needs to Do Next to Earn an A in Economics. Peter, thank you for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Nice to be with you.
So we talked a little bit earlier in the show. I saw a piece yesterday about Taco Bell managers in some markets now being paid six figures, $100,000. Not to disparage the work that a Taco Bell manager does, but that is not a job you really expect, normally expect to pay that much money. Is one of the stories of the economy today, Peter, the wages being pushed upward for some jobs like that?
That is a surprising statistic, and I'd like to know how many of those Taco Bell managers there are. I can't imagine a single standing Taco Bell could, in many places, could support managers at that price. But if the store is very big and busy, if you get one coming in on New York Avenue into Washington D.C., that's a primary point of entry where there's a lot of, motels for families. You might have that, but in less heavily trafficked places, that seems like a lot. I'd like to know how many there really are. Lower income workers, though, are doing better. Like if you look at if you divide the economy or workers into four quartiles, four 25% segments, the top and the bottom are doing much better, more rapidly than the middle. What's happening is that the combination of globalization but most of all, automation and artificial intelligence, which is reaching into white-collar jobs, is commoditizing a lot of white-collar skills. It's basically reducing the demand for people like insurance adjusters or taxi dispatchers and things of that nature. But as the wealthy get wealthier and they buy more stuff on Amazon, we do need people working in warehouses. So Amazon pays more for warehouse workers. Or Walmart pays more for clerks in their stores. So the top and the bottom are seeing more gains than people in the middle. And I think it's part of that. The Trump boom has been good for low-income workers, and it has been good for minorities in that regard.
Peter, you spend part of this piece at MarketWatch.com giving us an overview of what we've seen in these 3 years. Economic growth, 2.6% during the president's term. There was this fear, or at least this discussion, 6, 8, 9 months ago, about a pending recession. People were worried about a pending recession. Is that fear in the past? Do you still hear that discussed in some places?
Only among people who desperately want Donald Trump to lose the election. I mean, that was basically a cooked up boogeyman by the left and their accomplices in the mainstream media at the Wall Street Journal that somehow or other we were on a sugar high and this was going to end. Now, what is going to happen is the first quarter of this year coming up is going to be tough. It may bleed into the fourth quarter data that we haven't seen yet. And that is the Boeing thing. The Boeing thing is huge. Shutting down 737 MAX production is probably good for about a half a percentage point off of GDP. So, in an economy that was naturally going to slow a bit because of the effects of the tax cut do dissipate, that means that growth is going to come in at about 1.5%. Unfortunately for Mr. Trump, people's memories are short.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the growth in the first half of next year that he's going to have to run for president or re-election. The first George Bush found that out the hard way. His third quarter numbers were very good. unfortunately, they didn't come out. They weren't available to the campaign until, you know, when you're campaigning late in October, the die is cast. It's over. Yeah. Unless one or the other does something stupid like call the Midwest deplorable, you're cooked, or threaten to put, you know, the coal industry out of business completely. You're cooked if you're behind him. He could be in that situation. So he does need to take some other steps to at least show folks that he recognizes the need to further boost the economy.
Peter Morici with us. Check him out on Twitter at PMorici1, M-O-R-I-C-I, the number one. Scott Bertram in for Steve on the Steve Gruber Show. You mentioned late the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Free Trade Agreement, USMCA. That is pending action in the Senate. The president will sign, I certainly imagine, when it gets to his desk. What kind of a difference will that make when it's in place?
It'll mean more manufacturing jobs in the United States, but it won't be a revolution. It'll mean more steel will be made in the United States, and more automotive components will be made in the United States, simply because the content requirements, you know, for a vehicle to qualify as a North American vehicle and cross the border from Mexico duty-free, and in the other direction, to go into Mexico duty-free, or without any of their nefarious restrictions down there, requires that it have 80% of the steel be made in the United States and a larger share of the components be made in North America, which often means being made in the United States. We don't have nearly as much trouble competing with the Mexicans as we do with the Chinese. The Mexicans just don't have a lot of ways they can cheat down there, subsidize things. I mean, you know, it isn't like they're altar boys, but then again, you know, neither are we. Neither are we. So, I mean, let's be clear. It's degrees of sin when it comes to distorting trade. You know, it's kind of like some people curse and some people steal and some people burn down the church. the Americans, you know, have blasphemous mouths, and the Chinese are.
Peter Morici, thanks for joining us.